welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We have got a legendary show for you lined up today here on Robbie and Rex Road. The one and only Dan Fouts will join us at 7 o'clock. Dun, I can dun, dun, sense dun. Rex Road's anticipation right now.
GOAT. The GOAT. Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts on the program at 7 o'clock.
The GOAT of fourth grade Joe.
How excited are you?
I'm excited, man. Dan Fouts is awesome. Great job lining it up, Ryan Porth.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Very
slinging that ball around. I was unaware, and we'll talk to him about this a little bit later. He threw the ball like, there were times he threw the ball 600 times in a season. 600 times! That's a lot.
And so for that time period where you would have a lot of games where you'd have like 30 combined passes.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine watching Air Coryell and Dan Fouts winging it around.
No wonder you liked it so much.
I mean, hey, part of my love for football, I give credit to Dan Fouts. So, very excited.
Well, we look forward to having that conversation with him at 7 o'clock. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt new Vanderbilt football coach, joining us at 8 o'clock. Terry Crisp at 8:30. And then our man Dan Orlovsky, friend of the show, at 9 o'clock as well. So, some legendary Dans on the show today.
Good Dan. Great Dan show. It's a great Dan show. Maybe our best Dan show ever.
Ryan Porth, how are we doing?
Doing good.
All righty. How about that game last night?
Boring.
Yeah. Are you talking about Porth or the game?
I'm being sarcastic about the game, okay. But yeah, I guess I could have been ripping on Porth.
We spent all week complimenting Porth, so maybe Friday we just throw him under the bus.
No,
everything
I mean,
he says, boring.
No, Joe was like, hey, great job booking Dan Fouts.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, we're being nice to Porth today.
What a game last night.
Amazing.
I mean, I was thinking, so you're coming into the game if you're the Predators. You don't grab the lead. We talked all day yesterday about getting out to a lead. You don't have a lead one time in this game. You come into the third period, you're down 5-3. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, watching that game, heading into the third period, like, what is this team? Like, are they going to be, you know, 10 games into the season, already on a downward spiral towards just totally missing out on the playoffs and really not even being in the conversation come April?
They still could be, but carry on.
Look, it's one game. We'll talk about that. But the third period, you make the goalie switch, Pekka comes in, and just to be able to fight back in that game, make it 5-4 with the extra attacker, an absolute rope by Roman Josi in that game. And then Joel Quenneville, for some reason, decides to go and challenge a play, a high stick play, which, honestly, I wasn't even aware you could do that. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen that challenge before late in the game like that. You go and you challenge the high stick play from Matt Duchene. It's not a high stick. It's not even really all that close. And you give the Predators a power play.
What are you doing?
And they come in and tie the game.
I've seen the high stick challenge, but what are you doing with a you're talking about a goal that cuts your lead in half to one. Why would you even think about risking giving them that advantage?
It was horrible.
I had forgotten that resulted in a penalty.
Yeah.
Forgot that was a thing. So I wasn't
apparently
even...
Apparently Joel Quenneville did too.
Apparently. I wasn't even aware of that. As, you know, they were reviewing it, I'm like, oh, well, that's not going to stand. Or like as yeah. a... like that, he's not going to win that challenge. And then they reward the Preds with a power play. I'm like, oh, now this team's cooking with gas. This could happen.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And then Matt Duchene, he ties it up. Joe Rexrode, how much credit do you want to take for this? Preds picked a click yesterday.
Well, listen, two goals. I said, Matt, I need to help you out, buddy. I'm going to help you out this time, okay? So can't promise I'm going to do it every time, but Matt, you need a goal, so you're my pick to click. Now, Vingan tried to take credit on Twitter for this also because he wrote – he wrote a story about Duchene calling him overpaid, underperforming.
Yeah.
And so Vingan tries to take credit as like the motivational.
Yeah.
But I think I get credit for picking him to click. I mean, I've got four now. Yeah. At some point it becomes,
we know that, yeah.
Right? Doesn't it at some point become kind of
we've like, been touting the listeners all along.
Really Rex Road.
Rex Road is now leading the contest.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So the listeners are at three.
Yep.
But you got on the board. So Josi got Josi. That was incredible. That game, as bad as the Quenneville thing, is just astounding. I mean, I wish he did that in Chicago where someone would talk about it and notice. But, man, Philip Forsberg is just a stud. He's just a stud.
Well, I noticed it with Joel Quenneville last night, and here is what Florida Panthers legendary head coach Joel Quenneville had to say after the game about his decision to challenge the play by Matt Duchene on the high stick.
Coach, the challenge at the end of the third there, can you talk about what you saw on the bench that led you guys to believe that you could risk the take?
I didn't see it live. We were aware of it. We looked at it, and I think that we decided to go for it. We thought it was over, and it was a high stick. That was what we went for. It was one of those situations where you took a little risk and came back to bite us. But that's we'll move forward and learn from that as well.
So that was Joel Quenneville after the game. Without having seen the video, I know where his hand placement was there. It's gripping that podium like he's about to pick it up and throw it. That's what Joel Quenneville does. What a gift he gave the Predators last night. And to their credit, they took advantage of it.
Was he talking into a fan there? what reminded me of? Luke, I am your father, which you get the reference, but you don't get that reference. Tommy Boy. He's talking into a fan. Luke, I am your father. That's exactly what it felt
like. One of those situations where you took a little risk.
We took a little risk. Why?
Yeah. That's one of those ones where the video coach whistles down, thinks they have something. You go back and review it after the game. You're like, dude, what are you looking at, man? You can't do that.
But no way the video coach said it's 100%.
No.
So if that's what Joel Quenneville's question is. Okay, if there's no question about it, we'll do it. There's no way that guy said that.
No.
So Joel Quenneville, own it. And again, be glad that no one covers you or watches your team.
Well, doesn't it have to lead to the goal itself for it to be ruled and overturned?
I'd have to look into that. I mean, if it's still in the offensive zone and they missed it, why they wouldn't go back and fix it then is beyond me. So I've heard that. I'd have to look more into that rule. But to me, if I'm the Panthers, well, how could you say it doesn't lead directly to the goal if you miss the call and they're still in the offensive zone? You blow the whistle. At least it absolutely leads directly to the goal.
Right.
But they didn't miss the call. It was not a high stick. So the point is mute.
I mean, I think it was close. You know, close enough. Like, in another situation, fine. But, there's just no reason to even think about that risk.
And then the Predators make him play. Philip Forsberg wins the game in overtime. That dude was unreal last night. 5 points for Philip Forsberg, ties a franchise record for points, 2 goals, 3 assists. Look, the goals he scored were great. I mean, that first shot that he scored on, I mean, that's like an Alexander Ovechkin-level shot. I mean, it was unbelievable, the release he had on that play. Wins the game in overtime. Great awareness by him to kind of hang out on top of the bench, make sure he didn't get called for too many men. And then great play by Arvidsson.
Right back on the ice.
Right back on the ice, breakaway, and it's over. The Predators win that game. But Forsberg, look, he's played a lot of really good games and been dominant. That may have been the best game I've seen Philip Forsberg play last night. He was unbelievable.
I was surprised to find out that was his first 5-point game. You know, I just would have assumed, you know.
Yeah.
But amazing. Dominant. And that's, listen, I have no idea where this season's going. This doesn't necessarily change anything dramatically. Maybe it will, but there's why you watch this team, because you got a guy like that. And if you can get that guy a little bit more consistently, or not every night. He's not going to do that every night, but get what he's been early this season for a whole season. That's worth the price of admission. Philip Forsberg.
How about that play he made, or not a play, but just the wherewithal that he had to get back on the bench.
Yeah.
So they weren't called for too many men, and then he just races down and scores.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Like, just to hop up. I mean, Colton Sissons is trying to get off, and he hops up on the bench, make sure he doesn't touch the puck. Great play by Arvidsson to kind of break things up there in the middle, and all of a sudden, Forsberg sprung the other way. You give him a breakaway like that, more times than not, he's going to make you pay for it.
Yeah, like you knew he was going to score.
Yeah, I mean, the whole bench stood up, and it's funny. You go back and look at the replay, and like Nick Cousins, as Forsberg is breaking in, is like grabbing somebody on the Predators ready to celebrate. It's hilarious. And then, of course, he makes the play. The Preds win. And just a dominant game by Forsberg. Matt Duchene scores twice last night. The first goal he had, Forsberg, I mean, he just put it on a platter for him. That's one of those where you could sense like the relief on Matt Duchene's face once it went in. And then he went nuts when he scored the game-tying goal. I mean, the whole team did, but it was crazy to watch. Forsberg's best play of the night may have been the assist he had to Yarncroke. Yarncroke back in the game. Just the play to kind of cut in the middle of the ice there. beat the two defenders and set up Yarncroke for basically a slam dunk there. Forsberg just outstanding last night.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. You get two assists, and also, but they are assists where he makes it so they are like they're just dunk. They're layups. Great game. And, big for Duchesne. I mean, big for Duchesne to you get a gimme there, as we said, off Forsberg, but to get in there, dig it out, and tie that thing at the end. Maybe he'll go on a run, but regardless, that was a guy who was way overdue to have a good night, a good result.
And then an underrated part of the game, but I thought pretty important in the third period, and then a couple big saves in overtime, too. Pekka comes in relief of UC Saros. I thought played really well. I mean, Predators were more disciplined in front of him, so they weren't, you know, having this parade to the box in the third period, which they did at times again last night that cost them in that game. But, you know, Pekka comes in, makes the saves that he needs to make, and all of a sudden, you've won the game. I thought it was a great performance by him coming in relief.
Yeah. So that's an interesting. So what's that? Is that decision? Because I don't know. I mean, Saros, how many of Saros' goals? I mean, you got the screen goal where it's he didn't even react until it was past him.
The Barkov one wasn't great.
Yeah, there's one. There's always one, right? But obviously he's just getting peppered. I mean, the penalties, not being able to kill the penalties. So is that move just, let's just get him out of there, it's just a brutal night for him, or a kickstart, kick the team in the butt a little bit? Maybe both.
I think it's a little bit of both. It's also, I mean, you've got a back-to-back. So if you're John Hines and you wanted to go back with Saros tonight, maybe that's what you're thinking at the time. I'm going Pekka tonight if I'm them. I think you've got to.
Peck has been the better goaltender this year.
So far. I would agree. Now, much more of a smaller sample size, but yeah, I would agree. I mean, comes in last night. I mean, he didn't have to make any, like, you know, point-blank saves last night, but he was solid. He was in control, made some big saves in overtime to keep them in that game. I just thought he was good. We've got to go back with him tonight.
I mean, it is different when you come in and the other team has a two-goal lead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and usually.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different than what Saros was facing, but yeah, I wouldn't have, like, would you have said that yesterday? Like, if someone asked you, who's been the better goalie this year, Saros or Pekarina, you would have said that yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've not been high on how UC Saros has played this year. He's been very leaky.
Yeah. Lately, especially.
Yeah, and you're just, like, two things can be true. And this often is one of the most frustrating parts about hockey to me is everyone either puts all the blame or the goaltender or all the blame on the defense in front of him. Two things can be true at the same time. The Predators have had some bad moments this year. And that turnover by Fabro last night that led to the breakaway.
Woof.
Bad moment. Great move by Huberdeau. Like, at some point, you'd like your goaltender to bail you out on one of those two.
Yes.
Saros has not done a whole lot of that this year.
Yeah. Well, so on the fan side of things, the goalies get too much blame.
I think it's the opposite here. I think the goalies don't get enough blame here sometimes.
Well, maybe. I mean, with Pekka probably at times. But from the, on the team side, it's never the goalie's fault.
Right.
Never.
Right.
It's always, we got to help me, which I understand. No one's ever going to say, God, I wish that he would play better behind us. You know, no one ever says that. But obviously, it hasn't been great from Saros here lately.
So what can this type of a win do for this Predators team? Could this be something that springboards them into the future here? We'll discuss that coming up next. But first, let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel. Celebrate the 55th edition of the big game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team to win and get 55-1 odds when Kansas City takes on Tampa Bay. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game coming up on February the 7th. I've been betting on football on FanDuel all season long. It's been so easy to use. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours. And, of course, the big game means some big player props as well. And one of the big ones out there right now on FanDuel Sportsbook, the over-under for Patrick Mahomes and passing yards in this game right now at 329.5. So a big line there for Mahomes. Maybe you feel great about him hitting the over. Maybe you feel good about Tampa Bay's defense in this game. You could go either way on that. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Yossi has the puck again, gets it back, top of the right circle, and scores! With 2:02 remaining, Roman Yossi pulls the Predators within one. Puck deflected back to Roman Yossi. Yossi with the try down low. Duchesne scores! Beth Duchesne scores to tie up the game! Puck comes back inside the Florida zone. Predators hopping on and off the ice to avoid a too-many-men penalty. Now breaking in. Here now is the shot and the score! And the Predators win in overtime!
We had a discussion in between the second and third, and they went out there. There was no quit. We were going to drive that third period the way that we wanted to play. And it's nice to see guys do it and get rewarded for it, because I think there's been some games where we've certainly deserved better than we've gotten. And tonight, that's nice. So I think we can build off of that.
What a win last night for the Nashville Predators. They get it done in overtime, 6-5 against the Florida Panthers. A five-point night for Philip Forsberg. He was the hero last night for the Nashville Predators. 2 goals, 3 assists. Matt Duchesne, 2 goals as well last night. And a dramatic come-from-behind victory in the third period and then into overtime when Philip Forsberg gets the job done. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, I'll be honest. I was watching the game last night, and there were some defensive breakdowns. I didn't think Saros played particularly well last night. Some more penalty trouble as well, some more penalty kill trouble for the Predators. And I'm thinking to myself, heading into the third period last night, man, like this team has got a whole lot of issues. And I'm not saying that those issues are evaporated, because they're still there. But I do think that there are things in the NHL, there are wins in the NHL that mean more than others do. And a win like this, I think, has the opportunity to help propel this team along forward here. Now, Ryan Johansson left the game last night after the second period with an injury. He did not play in the third, did not play in overtime. We'll see what his status is for the game coming up tonight. Obviously, you need healthy bodies out there to make a run here. But do you think a win like this can help propel a Predators team that's been largely kind of stuck in neutral so far this season forward here, or is it just one game that you just have to throw out the window?
I think you used the word gigantic twice in one tweet on their issues last night. Am I right? I don't disagree, but I'm just saying it is funny. I mean, there was a lot Preds Twitter last night of blow this team up. Like,
Well, I've had that since this first period of the season.
yeah. But I mean, like, just basically, like, okay, this team has no chance, hopeless. And then, of course, they have this comeback. I do think about last year. There were a few wins along the way because a lot of times they didn't have fight back, or they didn't – or they gave up. They certainly gave up some games last year late. Yeah. But I remember some games last year where it was like, will this be the turning point? And it was kind of just the same slog, sort of one up, two down, two up, one down. But, I mean, look, I think it's got to be – a great feeling, and it's a huge difference between being 4-6 right now, sitting there with your 37% success for opponents on the power play, which is still awful, yeah, and is last in the league. Sitting there at 4-6, still no wins on the road. That compared to now, what you got to feel now, pretty big difference. So maybe, the good thing is we get to see him play again tonight. Yeah. So let's see what the impact is on them and on Florida. I mean, this is the same opponent too, so maybe this helps tonight. Maybe that sort of stunned them a little bit. I mean, Quenneville should be splashing cold water on his face and seeing if he can get some caffeine and be awake for the game tonight.
Maybe get that coach's challenge out of the way early tonight. Yeah. Just challenge something random in the first period. Just go ahead and get it out of the way. What a move by him last night. Matt Duchesne after the game, it was interesting to hear him talk, because obviously – he talked about it on our show the other day. There's been frustration there with the chances that he's gotten and hasn't been able to convert. And finally gets it done last night, converts twice for 2 huge goals for the Nashville Predators. And just talked about this win, this comeback for the Predators, and what it could do for them moving forward. Here's what Matt Duchesne had to say.
We talked about each guy just doing whatever they could to help the team win. And it sounds really simple, but I think in the second period, we're passing problems off to each other. I think we were, instead of settling a puck down that was rolling, we just swatted over to our teammate and say, here, deal with it. And, we were turning pucks over. We weren't, playing in their end. And we played great in the first period. We outzone timed them. And then the third, we did it again. So we're the team that's got to learn that, you know, there's times and places to make plays on the rush and through the neutral zone, but it's not every time. So, you know, it's a good learning experience for us. And I am just so proud of the boys for showing that kind of effort. And obviously Pex comes in and plays really well in the third and makes some big saves for us. And, you know, we did some really good things.
So that was Matt Duchene after the game. And look, I'm not going to overreact to this. It's a great win. They deserve full credit for what they're able to do to come back. Can you sustain it? Like, can you sustain making clutch plays, not putting yourself in a position where you've got to dig out and come back like this? I still think grabbing the lead at some point is going to be pretty important. Like, they're really far behind now in terms of –
way in last place.
I mean, they're way in last place in terms of the time that they've spent with the lead so far this season. So that to me is a concern. Obviously, the penalty kill is still a very big concern with this team. I mean, there's a lot that you still look at and say, oh, I don't know. I mean, there's
Fabro, is he a concern? I mean, that was bad.
It was bad. I mean, there were some bad moments last night, but they do get full credit for finding a way to come back in that game and win it. I don't know how it's going to translate. I will say this, like, I look back to last season, and there's a game I can point to where everything really started to go bad for this team, and that was Halloween night, Calgary. You got a big lead in the third period. They find a way to force overtime. Matthew Tkachuk scores an unreal goal in overtime, and it really was never the same for the Predators after that. That type of win last night was almost like the loss they had last year against Calgary. Now, can you build on it and move forward and start to play better after that? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But I do think this has a chance to be more than just a random Thursday night win against Florida.
Well, if it doesn't spark them, maybe this will at least ruin Florida.
Yeah. You know?
Which, hey, this year
it's important.
Is great because you'd like them out of the way. So if you can count them out, you know, now you're just dealing with Columbus for the fourth spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how they respond to that starting tonight. And then Forsberg, like, look, obviously, he's not going to put up 5 points every night. You're talking about a guy, though, he's got 11 points in 10 games. It helps when you put up five in one game for the points per game average. But he looks different this year in terms of the 200-foot game and that translating to more offense. I mean, he's been great in the defensive zone. Some of the plays he's made offensively have begun off of plays that he's made in the D zone coming out of there. And I think of the guys that you've wanted to see take their game to the next level. I like a lot of what I've seen from Arvidsson. I like a lot of what I've seen from Duchene. He's finally rewarded from it last night. I haven't liked a lot of what I've seen out of Ryan Johansson. It's pretty undeniable that Philip Forsberg has been pretty good from start to finish so far this year.
Yeah, and you know, we had the argument last week about the lines. Looks like you're winning because Forsberg, Duchene, Granlund. Seems like wherever Forsberg is, that line seems to be all of a sudden better off. But probably going to stick with that for a while, right? And then a little bit of a rotation with whoever's next to Johansson and Arvidsson. Of course, we don't know if Johansson's even going to be able to be out there tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing. Like, if he can't go, what do? If you're the Predators, like who plays in the top six at center? I mean, you could put Colton Sissons back up there. Yarncroke is a guy that you can basically put on any line and move around, and the Predators have done that in the past. I'll be interested if Johansson can't go to see what they do there.
Probably one of those two, though, right?
You would think so. I mean, you've got more options there this year with Cousins coming in. He can play down the middle. Eric Halla can play down the middle as well. So there are more options there, and I realize, like, Ryan Johansson is not very popular right now among Predators fans with the way that he's played. You still need Ryan Johansson out there.
Yeah, pretty important player.
Yeah. Like, if you're gonna do what you want to do this year, eventually at some point he's going to have to be part of it. Otherwise, I mean, it's just going to be an uphill climb at that point.
And so this is, we think, upper body injury.
We think. I had somebody tweet me from the game last night, said he was clutching onto his arm. We'll see. I mean, there was no specific update from John Hines after the game. And no indication of how long he'll be out or not. Maybe we'll find out later on this morning or certainly tonight if he's in the game or if he's not. So something to keep your eye on there if you're the Predators and Ryan Johansson. But a big win for Nashville last night. We'll have a lot more to discuss on that front today. Terry Crisp will join us later in the show as well. So a lot coming up today here on the Predators and here on Robbie and Rexro. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears, introduce our poll question of the day, looking ahead to the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Poor taking you through this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are thrilled to be joined by Dan Fouts, legendary NFL quarterback, coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour. He's been the source of a lot of discussion here on the show.
You better be thrilled.
I am thrilled. I am very much looking forward to it. We'll have Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us at 8 o'clock. Dan Orlovsky at 9. And, of course, the legendary Terry Crisp at 8:30. As well, lots of legends on the show today.
A lot of legends. Everybody better be putting some respect on Dan Fouts' name today. Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts.
Yeah. Maybe the GOAT.
I'm such a fanboy.
Maybe the GOAT.
I hope I don't lose my, you know, lose my marbles.
We played with Bonnie. Excitement. We played Bonnie Tyler. I need a hero. I mean, Dan Fouts is your hero.
Yeah, he's the hero's right around the corner.
Well,
it's coming here.
And, you know, that's a nice early 80s song from the movie Footloose, right around the time Dan Fouts was slinging that pigskin around the field.
Just going that beard and all its glory in San Diego, yep. Chucking that ball around.
And I was just, you know, yay, 4 o'clock, NBC game, Plunkett Fouts, Chargers Raiders. Can't get better than that.
Looking forward to having that conversation with Dan Fouts coming up at 7 o'clock. Joe, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. And today's question, very simple. The Super Bowl coming up on Sunday night. Who do you got to win this game, the Chiefs or the Buccaneers? Right now, very early in the voting, 101 votes are in, 63% going with the Kansas City Chiefs, 37% with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. That's about where I think it'll end up.
See, I thought
somewhere
in
there.
I thought you would think it would end up higher for the Chiefs.
Well, listen, we've talked to people all week who, and I hear them on the offensive line situation. Even, you know, talking to Sam Mellinger yesterday, and he knows that Chiefs team as well as anyone. It's an issue. It's a concern. And the Bucs, I mean, you have to be impressed with what they did in Lambeau. Against that team, what they did defensively to overcome Tom Brady's 3 interceptions in the second half. They overcame Tom Brady and won that game. And, you got to take that into account going into this one.
Yeah, you
what
do.
What will they have to overcome from Tom Brady Sunday? Who knows?
Wow. You've said if the Buccaneers go out and win this game, that maybe you revisit your list and Brady becomes the GOAT. You got right now.
He might
got
have to be number one.
As one of the greatest. I think you had him at number 2.
Yeah, on your I got list. Him right behind Peyton Manning.
Okay. So if he wins this game, you've said maybe that switches. Maybe he becomes number one.
Because I don't just list quarterbacks by number of Super Bowls won.
I hear you.
Because if I did, I mean, you know, there's some interesting guys who would be on the list over some other guys. Dan Marino, no thanks. You are not welcome on this list.
Nick Foles?
Brad Johnson? Come on down. So if we think that's ridiculous, then why are we just listing them out? However, look, pretty amazing stuff here. 43 years old doing this. No doubt. Let's be real.
What if Brady throws for 142 yards and 2 interceptions and the Bucs win anyway?
Well,
does that change it?
Well, I mean, that'll be like the Super Bowl against the Rams, which was awful. Neither quarterback played well. The defense won that game. Or it'll be like the Seahawks Super Bowl where Tom Brady sat there and was so glad that Pete Carroll decided to throw a slant rather than give the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
We were just watching highlights of the win over the Falcons. Tom Brady made a bunch of plays, at least. Like that is still because of his pick six and other things, that game never should have been won because Kyle Shanahan can't count. I don't even know what your question was, but yeah.
Just totally gone down the rails here.
If Tom Brady
hatred.
I mean, I guess if he has a terrible game and they win. The funny thing is, even if that happens, what will we be talking about? The GOAT won again. It doesn't matter.
Brady came
what
in
does.
His first year and won with the Bucs.
But look, and in all seriousness, it's amazing what he's done to turn them around at this age. To go, I mean, you can't deny it. But it is funny. I mean, really, the story of the last game, as you know, as a Packers fan, the story of the last game was what that defense did.
Yeah.
In the second half, it was incredible. It was and that's why I think they have a chance to win, and that's why I think people are picking them.
Yeah,
because those guys are legit.
Look, I really do. I think it's going to be a very good game. I know some people look at that Kansas City offense and think, you know, I realize Tampa Bay's defense is good. I saw what Kansas City did to that Tampa Bay defense earlier this season. And if Mahomes is playing like Mahomes can, he's just going to have his way with that defense. And look, maybe that's true. Maybe that offense is so good that it really doesn't matter what defense you're going up against. And a lot of times that has been the case with that offense. But I just wonder if that defense can hold up. Because, you know, we had TD on yesterday, Teron Davenport, and he talked about it. I mean, this offense for Kansas City basically makes you pick your poison and then attacks whatever area you can't defend. So, for instance, like if you're trying to put all of your energy to slowing down Tyreek Hill, which I would imagine Tampa Bay is at least thinking about doing that given what he did to them last time, then what do you do with Travis Kelce? I mean, there are just so many matchup problems that offense presents that it's tough to handle for any defense.
Yeah, I mean, and with this time to prepare, that's where, you know, not that like Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy couldn't come up with something in a day, but with this time to prepare, you would think they'd have some nice plans here to, as people have talked about this week, you know, stretch them horizontally, make those guys up front deal with all that horizontal speed stuff that they like to use, so you slow them down a little bit. But yeah, I mean, look, bottom line is you're going to be in some passing situations and you're going to have to drop back and set up and throw, and those guys should make it tough. Real quick, not to go off topic here, but right behind you on the screen behind you, they just busted in on the other Predators who had 5 points in a game.
Oh, really?
Two names that never, ever would have come to mind for me.
Okay.
So, first of all, you were right about J.P. Dumont.
I figured.
One of them is Dan Hamhuis.
Did he? Did Hamhuis have 5 points? This?
Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, I always butcher his name. Hamhuis.
Dan Hamhuis had 5 points in a game?
How did you say his name?
I said Hamhuis. Last year, I was like, this guy's got to leave because I can't do it.
You remember the video game back in the day that called him
Hamhuis?
There was a like NHL 2K7 video game that called him Dan Hamhouse. Not Hamhuis, not Hamhuis, Hamhouse.
That's what I'm going like, with right. That. I'm going with Hamhouse.
Dan Hamhuis.
Hamhuis. Yeah, but for whatever reason, I always want to use the I. All right, so there's one.
All right.
The other one, Mark Zidlicky?
Merrick Zidlicky. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I don't even know who the heck this guy is.
That one doesn't surprise me much.
It doesn't surprise you that much?
No, okay. he was pretty good offensive defenseman.
His name was Merrick?
Merrick.
Okay, yeah, they spelled it wrong then. They didn't have any E in there. Mark.
Yeah, it's Merrick.
He was a good offensive defenseman, but he was not a good defensive defenseman.
He was a traffic cone on the other side of the ice. But, man, you could shoot that puck.
But still, 5 points.
It's pretty good.
That's a big game. This is Forsberg's first time.
I got to tell you, I would not have guessed Dan Hamhuis being the one to have 5 points.
I would have guessed Zidlicky before.
Yeah.
Before
Kimmo Tiimonen, Roman Josi, Shea Weber.
Of all the defensemen that they've had, Zidlicky and Hamhuis.
Hamhouse.
Or how'd you say it, Joe?
Hamhuis.
Hamhuis.
I said it last year like that, too. Hamhuis. Hamhuis.
You're making him European now.
Meanwhile, Merrick is like Mark Z.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. NHL Network.
They're putting up points for the Brad Zuckerberg.
NHL just Network spelled his name wrong, I swear to you.
That was worth going off even topic for.
Even the producer for NHL Network was like, who's Merrick? I'm just going to put Mark. There's no E there.
Who cares?
Man, that was awesome.
So it's Zidlicky, not Zidlicky?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's
good to know.
Yeah, I think it's actually like
Zidlicky. Yeah.
Like Zidlicky.
Right. Yeah.
Like Pete Weber said
there's
it.
There's an accent to it. Yeah.
By the way, so last night, part of the game, taking I'm taking my daughter to basketball practice. Daughter and son at the same time. And it's Brennan. It says, wait, who's Saros?
Oh, wow.
I'm like, that's how Mr. Weber says it.
Yeah.
So that's what we go with, except we don't say it. We all say Saros.
Yeah.
It's an interesting. Like, it's very interesting.
Like Pete Weber can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Say whatever he wants.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
I'd like to get a consensus on that, but you know what?
Well, let's start with Hamhuis, and we can work our way up to Saros.
And Merrick.
Happy retirement to Dan Hamhuis, by the way. Hope he's doing well. his first year of retirement.
Is he here? Did he stay here?
No, I think he's back in Canada.
Good. Can't hear us butcher his name, Ham House.
Oh, that was your greatest. I mean, yesterday, instead of saying an Arctic cooler, I said RTIC. So, look, I pulled a Ron Burgundy yesterday, and you just butchered Ham Hughes' name. Sorry.
Go bleep yourself, Ham House.
Oh, man. How did we get here?
I don't know. Tom Brady, though, he's the GOAT. Yes. However you want to pronounce anyone's name, Tom Brady would have pronounced it correctly. He can do no wrong.
You think anybody's ever butchered Brady's name?
I don't know, but when Tom Brady
– like one of my friends that doesn't watch a lot of football, I mean, he called Mahomes Mahomies. So, I mean, that's
pretty awesome.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Mahomes. He legit thought it was Mahomes.
He thought it was Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, my gosh.
Rolling with Mahomes.
Look, it's not a bad name.
That would actually be cool.
It would. Maybe we'll see if he can change it up for us after he wins his second Super Bowl title. Speaking of the Super Bowl, we'll get back on topic when we come back and discuss the game coming up on Sunday. Get to your phone calls as well on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrod, taking you through the day.
Nice.
The fun mispronounced.
First day of school. I'm used to it.
I can't believe people called you Rex Rod.
Joe Rule.
That was still the best one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Joe Rule. Yeah, Rex Rod, first day of school. So many wonderful teachers over the years. I very much appreciate them. Wonderful people. But if there's an E on the end of something, then the vowel's long. And yet, so many Rex Rods.
I'm the first Dan Hamweis.
Oh, the legendary Dan Hamweis.
That's how I said it
in a movie. Too.
Yeah. Dan Hamweis.
Like your
Jim Nance on the fifth hole of the Masters.
And here's Dan Hamweis. Dan Hamweis.
Looking ahead to the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday between Kansas City and Tampa Bay. And let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andre from Nashville wants to weigh in on the Super Bowl. Andre, thanks for hanging with us, and thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Andre?
Hey, Andre.
Hey, I'm excited about this weekend. I think the Super Bowl is going to be one that you're probably going to forget really quick. Everybody think it's going to be a close game. I can see Tampa Bay getting out to a 10-0 lead. Once you come back for commercial, I think it's all over with. I think Kansas City beat them maybe 38-17. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Andre calling for a blowout in this game.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. Tampa Bay's secondary is not really that good. Number 24 and their two safeties, they're not really that good. So I'm looking for – when you watch the game this weekend, I want y'all to just check out number 24 for Tampa Bay. He's going to be toast. He's in trouble.
Hey,
so that's the reason.
I like
going
it.
With,
I like it.
No, I think I listen, I've been thinking this way, too. Thank you, Andre. I've been thinking this way, too. If Mahomes isn't under siege all day –
Well, that's the chance they have, right?
Yeah.
Is that pass rush, the linebacking core that Tampa Bay has. I mean, I agree. I mean, you look on the outside in the secondary, it's not great for Tampa Bay. And obviously, I don't really care who your secondary is. If you give Mahomes enough time, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, they're going to pick you apart. I mean, you can't cover those guys forever, no matter who you are. So the chance that Tampa Bay has in this game is the pass rush and the linebacking core creating havoc up the middle and getting in Patrick Mahomes' face. Now, I think Tampa Bay is well equipped to do that heading into this matchup. Now, how often can they do it? That, to me, is the question. And if you're Andy Reid, what counters do you have to it? No one heading into the game that, number one, even if your offensive line is healthy, this defensive front presents a pretty big challenge. But number two, knowing that it's not healthy heading into this game, I'm interested to see how Andy Reid handles that, especially early on with the play calls that he has.
Andre's picking on Carlton Davis, by the way.
Yeah.
24. Yeah, they're not great in the secondary. Now, Sean Murphy Bunting is the better corner. They have missed Antoine Winfield Jr., and he's back,
Looks
I believe,
like he's
for this
be
game.
Back.
That helps. But, I mean, But there's no secondary in this league that stands up to those guys if you don't have total chaos coming at Mahomes. And even if you do, he's amazing rolling right, rolling left, extending, making plays. And to me, it's the – I hope we have a good game. But the creativity of that offensive staff just makes me think they're going to have a really good plan for what Tampa Bay does. And again, if you do, yes, you can pick on that secondary. I will say that some of that horizontal stuff, I mean, Devin White is – he's a missile.
He's about as good as
he gets. He's a missile. You know, Levante David, I mean, that's – they're really good there along with, you know, those guys up front. So that's – yeah, I hope we have a great game. I do. I hate bad Super Bowls. But I won't be shocked if Andre's right.
Andre, over the years, has been like Rain Man with some of these big games.
Just calling a shot.
Andre is usually spot on.
Do you have an example?
No, but I will say there was a run where he was calling into the midday show, and he was getting games right, and he was on like a heater. So Andre... I think Andre could be onto something.
Okay. I think he could be, too.
Look, I'm never going to discount the possibility that Kansas City just runs away with the game. I mean, that's how good they are. I realize that, and they're the favorites in this game. They should be the favorites in this game. I do like Tampa Bay defensively to at least cause some issues, like we saw last year in the Super Bowl. The question is, how long can you keep it up? Like, you can hold Mahomes down for a while, and then out of nowhere – he's either driving the ball down the field at will or he puts a 60-yarder on you and you're toast. I mean, he does that all the time. That's what happened last year in the Super Bowl. They held him down, and then in the fourth quarter, you miss some plays offensively if you're San Francisco, and Patrick Mahomes ultimately makes enough plays and makes you pay for it. So that to me, I mean, it's just as important for Brady and company to make sure that they're capitalizing on their chances because, to Andre's point, you can get up by 10 or 13 in this game if you're Tampa Bay, and still look in the rearview mirror and say, ooh, this is nowhere near comfortable enough with Patrick Mahomes on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Just ask the Buffalo Bills.
Right. I feel like all week we basically have been talking about, you know, Kansas City's offense, Tampa Bay's defense, but how about the other side? How about the GOAT? How about it, GOAT? What have you got in you? I mean, he's got to play great. And look – those weapons, I mean, Antonio Brown is,
yeah,
he's had an interesting, there's been an interesting week on the Antonio Brown front.
Yeah.
You know.
The press conference was something else,
yeah,
man.
Somehow he turns all the crap he's done into the adversity I overcame and the naysayers and the haters. Yeah, it's amazing how, and then some media people bite on that crap.
You can tell he's learned a lot.
Yeah, but he's a good player, and he was coming on before getting hurt late, and that makes them that much more dangerous. So, I think they're going to have some success getting after Mahomes, but ultimately, that offense is going to have to score a lot of points to win this game. I can't. This is not going to be like 27-24 game again, is it? I don't think it will be,
but I think
– or 21-17.
I also think that offense is equipped to score points. Now, Kansas City's defense is good. I mean, that's an underrated part of this conversation is I think people, if you haven't watched the Chiefs play all year – you think, okay, it's the offense, and that's the main reason they're in the Super Bowl. And that's true. That is the main reason. That defense is better this year than it was a season ago, and they're going to be flying around out there. Now, having said that, between Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown and Tom Brady, the weapons that Bucs offense has offensively, not to mention, you know, Brate, Gronkowski as well, they've got the weapons to put up some points in this game against Kansas City. The question is, how many? Like you can't have another game if you're Brady where you're turning the ball over two or three times. I mean, you're not going to win playing against Patrick Mahomes and doing that.
Right. You're not. You're not going to be able to have three picks and a half and win this game. Somehow he did that and they won it at Lambeau. But that was also because he had just about a perfect first half, and including the ridiculous touchdown at the end of the half. But yeah, there, you don't have that margin for error in this game. I just saw this thing you sent me. This is incredible. Going off topic again, Penn State tweets out a Penn. This is a
and it has to do with the Super Bowl. It's not off topic.
That's true. This is a Super Bowl. In huge letters, it says a Penn Stater has appeared in, and then in huge letters, every
Super Bowl.
Okay, so this is Penn State football. This is the time of year when college and normal times, especially like a lot of college programs, go to the Super Bowl to media day just to like
pump up their tires. Yeah,
we this guy was on our team. He's in the Super Bowl, right? So all these college football, everybody goes nuts about players that they have in the Super Bowl and stuff. So a Penn Stater has appeared in every huge letter Super Bowl, and then in tiny letters, except for five since 1967. Every other than five. What? Are you kidding me?
It was like those disclaimers at the end of, like these contracts that you're signing.
I got to retweet
the terms and agreement that you agree to.
I got to retweet this. This is amazing.
Oh, Penn State, and some of the replies for Penn State football there, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, I mean, it's Super Bowl. You're trying to, if you're a college football program, pump up your tires as much as you can with the players you got in the Super Bowl, and a valiant attempt by Penn State yesterday.
You're only five off.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. I got to, in fact, I'm sorry. I know we're doing a show right now, but I got to shame them on Twitter right now. That's, it's taken. That's taking priority here at the top.
Well, you go ahead and get your shaming out of the way, because we've got a legendary guest joining us to begin the next segment of the show, one that's been a topic of conversation for weeks here on Robbie and Rex Road, and that is Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts. He will join us next. We'll look back at his career, get his thoughts on the Super Bowl as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.